idea that were out there. So to begin with, one particularly open issue, I guess it's hard to argue, no pun intended in this one, it also has to do with the change in scenery, has to do with opening windows. There is a major debate. We still have a few issues to finish up about Zaria. So one of the major issues in Zaria has to do with the question of whether you can open a window in front of a plant. The issue being that by opening the window, so you are making more light, perhaps more air, available to the plant, and the plant's going to grow better, grow quicker. So that's a major question, whether or not that's a problem. It was an issue that was raised in a later svarim, particularly prompted by the Shvisas HaShabbos. And it's a question that was discussed extensively after that, because it sounds like from some of the malachas that we find in the Yerushalmi and from some other sources, that there is an issue not only in terms of planting initially, but things that you do to advance planting is also a problem. So we saw that the Egwe Tal thought there was what to be machalik within this story, because there is a whole question based on the Otzitz Nakov issue. That the question when the Gemara talks about moving an Otzitz Nakov from closer to the ground to farther to the ground or vice versa, that even though the Gemara calls that Tolesh, a lot of the Rishonim, Rashi, Tosfos, Dagash, Hashri, took the stand that that was an Issur Rabbanan. It's not really an Issur Daraisa. So apparently, according to them, really shifting the growth of a plant faster or slower, shifting it in terms of degrees rather than absolute connection or lack of connection, is not the Chiyuv Daraisa. So that's a part of the equation here. What's the story in terms of trying to help the growth of this plant through giving it more light? So there were many who were machmir on this. There were some who thought that this is perhaps even more than other things, because if the window is completely closed and you're opening it up, so maybe you're giving it a complete new avenue to growth. And there were others who thought that this is very indirect, that this is a type of grumma, which maybe is not usur, maybe is usur drabanan. We'll have to get into a little bit more about the question of causational usurim when it comes to Shabbos. So essentially what you have here is you have a whole range of views. You have those who hold that it is usur to do, and therefore it's usur even to open the window when you have a plant there, even if you're only interested in light for yourself. Because maybe that's a concern of some type of a psegratia, something along those lines, and therefore we should prohibit that as well. There are those, on the other hand, who are makel. Frank has two truths about this, where it sounds like he is makel even if this is what you want to do. It also helps if you talk in a household setting, so you have a... usually dealing with an otzitz shein or nakur, right? You're normally dealing with a potted plant that's on your shelf. So already it's a question whether we have a deraisa shuzriya there to begin with. It's going to be us a derabanan to plant in such a thing, but whether or not it's us in a deraisa is already a question. You have a otzitz shein or nakur, so you have a potted plant. So already it was a question whether there's a chiyuv of deraisa. So you have a couple of levels removed here, right? So you have here already that it may not be a chiyuv deraisa to begin with, and we're not 100% sure if there is an issur to advance growth more quickly rather than connect it mirosh. Question about that?
About what you're saying about there's not an issue with chiyuv deraisa and
possibly
not. So, I mean, even according to that opinion, would you say that it would be that would only maybe be planting the seed itself into the ground, not necessarily ending? Said by the Harisha, but even though, right, it's not really ground, but it's the same Maisa Harisha that would be in it.
Right, so we said that just to be surprised about those who connected them, because Zachronim, such as the Mechaskinah from Maganovos, did indeed connect them, did indeed connect Harisha and Zriya to that extent. So we just expressed that we're surprised that that's the case, because we could have heard a Svar to do otherwise.
Right.
But nonetheless,
that would be the Pasha Svar, that since the Maisa itself would be the same.
Yeah, not necessarily, but that's also, especially when it comes to Harisha. But here with Zriya, once you say there's no Daraisa in putting it there in the first place, it's hard to say that it is a Daraisa in it's hard to say that it is Daraisa to advance it. So you have a couple of studs and Vahakil here. So on the one hand you have those who are very machmir on this, and those who find a lot of grounds here to be makil based on the Oxashir and Upgrove, which is not always the case. So the Shal also comes up, for example, outdoors. People have a greenhouse, or people have a setting where the plants are covered outside. So that might shift the issue a little bit, but potentially you have a number of factors here with Kula, and the fact that it's not really directly nipper what you're doing. You're not acting on the plant. You're opening the window, happens to be the plant's there. It may be a question some of the posts can talk about, the difference between whether the plant is close to the window or far from the window. So there are all kinds of svaras here, those who are very machmir in this and those who are very nagel. Even those who are very machmir, for example, Harfinus has a tshuva where he holds it's also to do this and it's also to do this even if it's not your intent, even if you just want light in the room. But he says if you make it indirect enough, you can be nagel. So for example, if you open the window in the morning before it's really light outside, and then it's going to become light later, but you're not allowing light in right now, so then that's already too indirect. But I think to try to navigate a path through these different shitas, it's probably the case that to do this on purpose, to do this because you want to grow the plants, yeah, probably have enough to worry about that that's not recommended. To do it because you want more light in the room, then you probably have yesha milisma, if enough svaras lahakel, that if that's not your intent, it should be presumably possible to be makel. There is a discussion also, we'll get into this a little bit more because it comes up a lot, we'll talk about this, we'll talk about psik resha, but just to be aware, so there is a machlokas, the Rashba and the Ran, that the Rashba had a kula, that if you have a deer happens to wander into your house, you don't have time to deal with it because you got to go to shul. So you want to leave to go to shul, and you're worried that, you're not so worried about the deer, but you're worried about the ganavim, and they're going to take your stuff, so you want to lock the door to your house. So is that an issue of tzad? Is that an issue that you're trapping the deer in your house because you're locking the door? So the Rashba thought not, because that's not your intent, and you're not acting on the deer, and it's not nicker that this is what you're doing. So there was a sefer called Bikur Yitzchak. Yes, sir.
Now, he's assuming it's something or Isa or Rabbanan?
He's assuming it's nothing. He's assuming it's nothing.
Because
of that combination of factors. So, the Ran happens to disagree, and we'll get into more details about that later. But just to be aware of the issue now, so some of the Achronim, like the Bikur Yitzchak, has a discussion about this where he thought this is basically comparable. Especially if you're just opening the window of Stam. He also thought that even according to the Ran, that he might be making on this because it's not nicker at all. No one looks at the house and sees what's going on. It's really not clear that there's any link. So there is, there are grounds to be making in terms of that. Another issue, I don't remember whether we alluded to it or not, is the question of putting flowers into water, that the flowers that are at a stage that they're going to benefit, they're going to blossom because of this. So then that the Ramah says is asur. Just the question whether that's a deraisa or derabbanan. So that, as the Sfarim point out, and we mentioned before, that's probably totally on this whole question. That probably totally on two questions. One is advancing growth an issue. Also, the other issue, which we said we still have a follow up for in terms of Zareya, next to this as well, when the Rambam says that you're not allowed to soak chitim and sa'orim in water, that will eventually sprout. So as we saw, there was a machlokas what the issue was. And some understood it was the concern of the sprouting. And that was, we just said a second ago that it eventually sprouts. Some understood that was the issue specifically. While there were others who understood that the Rabbaz, and it's not about that, but it's about the fact that it makes it easier to plant later. That you soften these kernels so that you can then plant them and they'll grow somewhere else. So then that's a question. All these other issues of soaking things in water, basically, is the Rambam saying that there is an issur d'oraisa of growing things within water? Or is he saying that it's Nisr Daraisa because it's preparation for it to be put later on into the ground? So then the question of how comparable the situation with the cut flowers is it something that's going to sprout, the Rambam saying that's a Daraisa? Or is he saying, no, that's only a concern because we're talking about planting it somewhere else, but if you're going to do it, if you're going to do it here, so then that's, and you're going to leave it there, that's not necessarily a Daraisa, it's a Darabana. That's an issue as well. There's also a discussion as far as you can take a look if anybody wants to take a look here. Sefer Talmalachas has a nice discussion about this, about sometimes you soak the soak barley, you soak the wheat in water because you want to make beer. You want to make that which you need to make beer. So that's not necessarily a planting issue, but it involves soaking these seeds in water. So he writes, or he has a different scholars to say that he thinks that's also for sure, maybe the rice and maybe the rabbanon, because ultimately it is going to grow into something, even if that's not why you're doing it. So he thinks that is problematic, and that's different from what the Magen Avraham says. Magen Avraham had said that it's only also to do this for a lengthy period of time, like half a day, and he contrasts it with sometimes people will soak these kernels so that they can feed them to the animals, and it'll be softer. So that the Magen Avraham uses as an example of why you do this for a shorter period of time, and he says that that's Maisim B'chol Yom is Mutter. So that's one thing, but this kind of in between, where you're going to leave it there longer so it'll make malts so that you can make beer out of it, even though that's not technically as a ray of purpose, but it is going to result in sprouting in there, but that's going to end up problematic according to everybody, whether it's a rice or a bun to talk about, but that's definitely problematic. But, so you had
With the flowers, there's some flowers that open and close. If they already had opened and now they closed, you put them in the water to open again, or is it like just if they never opened and open for the first time?
Presumably it's going to be at least the Nisr D'Rabbanan to put them in again. They're advancing, even if they take steps back and forth. It seems like they're flourishing. And that's that. That would be considered to be enhancing of the fruit. That's what it would sound like. It's enhancing of the flower. I think that that's. I can figure out whether either one of the mechaber would disagree. So since the mechaber doesn't say anything, it could be there might be a tzad. Especially if you say the Rambam is based on the Rambam. So then you have to figure out what his marker is. If it's based on the Rambam, it's just an extension of the Rambam. So then you have to see what the Sfarshim supposed to say. We should go down. Based on the Rambam story, so we're really, really worried about that also. It's an extension of what the Rambam said. If it's not based on the Rambam story, and the Rambam has it because his own finish, then maybe there might be, you know, just have to describe a little bit and try to look around and see maybe the Sephardi post can make one. Hi.
What was the
feeling
that the Talmud was saying about beer versus feeding it to animals?
Yeah, so there it's not going to sprout, right? And you're doing it for a completely different purpose. So the Magen Avraham was emphasizing that just putting it in water right away is not automatically awesome. If you recall, we're talking about why the Gemara, which talks about soaking things in water, was talking about lush. He's not talking about Zareya, he's talking about Tishkan. So the Magen Avraham deals with that whole question. He says a whole different issue, and that the Zareya issue only comes up when you do it for a long time. And in that context, he says that if you short period of time, it would not be a problem. He gives an example of something people do frequently, which is not connected to Zareya and also is not subject to the other potential issues that come up. So it's not the same thing. I question how usher it is. He's assuming that it's for sure usher because ultimately this is going to sprout into something. You're not trying to sprout for purposes of growing plants. That's not why you're doing it, but part of the process of making this for beer is going to result in some development in these seeds. So therefore, it's ultimately, even though you could have made a case that it's somewhere in between, it's in between enough on the usher side, at least usher midrabanan, that there's various stories why that would be, but at least it's going to be usher midrabanan.
Hi. Do you think that the soaking seeds in Nagai?
Soaking seeds in what? Right, so that's the whole question. That's part of what we also mentioned in the context of the whole, that there are those who wanted to bring the Nishmas Adam thought that the Rambam saying this was proof that you can have planting even in a Atzah Shem and Adam. And others disagreed because of this whole issue, because if he's about talking about it's doubting, then you're right, it's a proof backwards, not that you can be makel based, but the proof that that situation is also problematic. But if he's talking about helping to move it somewhere else, then it's not related to that issue at all. I think we may have mentioned, I don't recall, also the issue of avocado seeds. People put avocado seeds in water and have it flourish. So the post can talk about that. Vogelstein has a shtickle about that. He assumes that's for sure asur, and that that's also the raisa, because this is the derech of doing it. And if you put it in, you have to take it out right away, because it's going to sprout into something and that's going to be problematic. But it's not like the whole Rosh Hashanah Chasinuch issue, because since it's not the normal derech of Zriya, where you have the Chasinuch that says as soon as you put it in, it's done and you can't fix it later, if this you can fix before it sprouts, and you better do that, because you're going to have a real deraisa issue, which is going to outweigh any muktzah concerns that would come from taking it out. I don't recall if we talked about that or not yet. Okay, so those were some of the points to fill in terms of Zoreya, that we wanted to follow up on some of the points that we added in, basically addressing these two extra nekudas to halacha, the significance of growing things in water, and also this issue of quantitative or qualitative degree changes in growth, and to what extent that's something that factors into practical halacha as well. So now to talk a little bit about Barisha and some of the practical issues. One practical issue we started off talking about, we talked about Zriya, the issue of the shear. So it basically comes out that there's essentially a negligible shear. So if that's the case, so it's very easy to really violate the sisser on Shabbos in a complete way. So Rav Vosner has the tshuva, where he points out all these toldos of Choresh, the other Surim, whether they're toldos or avos, but you make a furrow, all kinds of different things, where if you basically if you stick something into the ground, you can make any kind of a hole, so then you have one of the malachos of Choresh, and a tiny hole is going to be already a problem, so you have to be careful about that. Average adult may not necessarily want to do this, but children do this. They're playing around outside. So you know it's very easy to violate a real rest of the rice in this sense. So one should be careful not to have his kids doing this because of the potential risk. Other issues about what kids do outside we'll talk about in a few minutes, but just in terms of that whole shear question, because it's so easy to really have a full-fledged shear of choresh, so that's a particular concern. That being the case, in terms of derisas, that's one thing. There are a ton of drabonins, so we'll try to at least be aware of some of the drabonins. I gave that list this morning for those who got it, just to alert to some of the gemaras, because there are gemaras scattered all over Shas, all over Shabbos, and elsewhere, that talk about some of the various gezeiras, and a lot of the gezeiras have a lot of ambiguity as to what applies and what doesn't apply. So we'll try again just to make us aware of some of what the issues are, and then some of what is discussed in the poskim about how they're applied. So in general, the concern that the Gemara mentions in quite a few places is the issue of ashriya gumos, that by doing certain interactions with the land, you're going to come to flatten out bumps in the ground, which is going to be presumably an Isser Daraisa of Choresh. So then there are all kinds of variables that get into the equation. So the question is, would this be a Dover Shema Miskavim? In which case, is it only an issue when it's really very likely to happen, bordering on Sabresha? Or is it a case where there's room to be Machmer, even if it's less, not Sabresha? The folks of the Gemara in general, according to one opinion, Dover Shema Miskavim is awesome. But even if we're more makel by a Dover Shein and Miskavim, it's not an absolute Sagresha. Again, we'll get into the Sagresha and Melacha Shein Shvichu and Gufa Sugis after a Sukkis. But here there are those who feel, so for example, there is a Xavier mentioned in the Gemara about cleaning up the house, about sweeping the floor and the like. So there, it could be that in addition to the question of whether you will definitely flatten out any bumps in the ground, that essentially, it's not incidental to what you're doing. You're trying to clean up the house. And flattening out any bumps is part of cleaning up the house. It may not be what you're trying to do. Okay, so maybe you're aware of the issue on Shabbos, so you're trying to clean it out without flattening the bumps. But it's not like it's some completely unrelated action. It's not like you walk past the house, you turn on a light. It's not like something that completely comes out of nowhere. So therefore, there are those who understand that there's a reason to be a little more machmir about this, and this is part of why we see so many gzeiros, particularly in that area, in terms of Ashmiya Gumos. So what exactly emerges in terms of that gzeira, in terms of cleaning up houses? So it's interesting, if you look in the back and forth here, in terms of the Mechaber and the Ramah, it's Shin Lamed Zayin. So here again, you see a big difference between the Mechaber and the Ramah, sort of. That essentially, what does the Mechaber say? It's in Shin Lamed Zayin Beis. Also, Lechaber Habayis. Lechaber is contrasted with the Rabbis. In the similar floor, says you can sprinkle some water on the floor. Sometimes people do that because they don't want the floor to get very dusty. People are going to be walking around the floor and picking up the dust, and that's unpleasant. So you can sprinkle some water on the floor to stop that from happening. That's not an issue at all, which is different than really soaking the floor. As we'll see, that's the gzeira the Gemara mentioned. Soaking the floor and oiling the floor, which they used to do, those are mentioned in the Gemara as gzeiros not to do. But when it comes to sprinkling a little bit of water on the floor, just so you don't have dust flying up in your face, so that the Shulchan Aruch says is mutter. But what about sweeping the floor? It says also the chaber habayis elo imkein hakarka merutzah. If you have something that's on top of the floor, it's not plain dirt, but you have tile, you have something on top of the floor, so then that would be okay. Yesh matir in afilu eino merutzah. And there are those who are matir even if it's not that. That's what the mechaber says. Then the Ramah goes on to say, the Yesh Machmirim Afilu B'Merutzah. It's a real debate here, back and forth. It's Aser, there are those who make it, guess what? There are those who are even more Machmir than you. So it goes back and forth. Shulchan Aruch saying it's Mutter if it's Merutzah, and possibly Mutter even if it's not. And the Ramah saying it's possibly Aser even if it is, quoting from a number of Rishonim. And then he goes on to say, V'chei Nogin, and that's the minute that we should be machmer on this. Ve'en l'shanos, mihu al yidei eno Yehudi mutter. However, to have a nadir do it is apparently mutter, quotes from the Beni Rufa. I don't know, was Jonathan the first? So if it's not plain dirt, it used to be that once upon a time, not so long ago, less than 100 years ago, that was what all the floors were like in the smaller towns. They didn't have carpeting, and they didn't have tiles, didn't have wood, didn't have anything. They just had earth. So they tried to keep the earth level. They didn't want it to be like you're outside in the field, but it was essentially earth. So then, if that's the case, so then the concern is you shouldn't be able to sweep the floor because it's going to flatten out the bumps. But why was there an opinion that even that was mutter, the Shulchan Aruch says? Because maybe it's not a psik reishis, if you're not trying to do that. So then it gets to the whole psik reishis question, Debra Shani Miskaven, there's all kinds of variables about how far you want to go with that. So there were those who were machmir, it's a discussion in the Gemara and the Poskim. There were those who were machmir, the Shulchan Aruch says, however, if it's not shayach for you to flatten out any bumps, because you don't have bumps, because you have the tile floor, so then both days in the Shulchan Aruch allow that. But the Ramah doesn't allow that. The Ramah says that's a concern because, in the expression from the Gemara, we're concerned people won't be able to tell the difference between different types of floors. So they know they can sweep the floor, they won't remember that they can't sweep floor that's not merutzah, that's not covered up. So you have to figure out, so that's not a gzeira with a gzeira, that's not a concern. So you know, it's not a gzeira, you're not going to say that sweeping is itself a gzeira, and Merutzah is a gzeira for Eina Merutzah. So presumably not, you could say a number of reasons, but presumably that the issue of when we say don't sweep the floor, it's not really as a gzeira, it's saying that the act of sweeping the floor might be directly a malacha. It might be that you are at the moment now doing this malacha of choresh by flattening out these bumps, so therefore shouldn't do it at all on a unpaved floor. And on a paved floor, is Xavier, you can't tell the difference, that the different floors look the same. So that's possibly where that is coming from. So then, the Ramah, however, is not the last word on this, because then you see that the later postkin, the Taz, and those came after, said, however, all of this is true, this Chumrah, the Ramah, is true, if you're in a place where you have a lot of floors that are, you have a lot of floors that are uncovered. So people know some people's kitchens are dirt, some people's kitchens are tile. So you shouldn't let you sweep the pile because maybe you'll think you can sweep the dirt kitchens too. But if everybody's kitchen, if everybody's living room in your city is, or most of them are covered up, so then there is a strong view that a lot of the Achronim have that it could be makel in that case, and that we're not gozer the tiled floors, the paved floors, because of a concern that you're going to come to a different city and sweep the untiled floors. That's considered to be too remote. So the Inga Ramah sounds like he's being very machmir here. So the later post can hold that that's in a whole different setting, and that nowadays we have a lot of room to be makel. So then it's interesting, this is part of the whole variables here going back and forth. So we have a number of different gezeros of Ashriya Gumos. There are a number of different concerns that are expressed in Shas of possibly smoothing out the ground. So often we have a difference between paved floor and unpaved floor. Right? And then we have these Rishon, the Ramah says, doesn't matter, doesn't help. And then we have the later poskim saying, no, it does help if you're in a setting where it's always the case. So then there's a distinction made within that as well, that we're not always ready to invoke that. We invoke that when it's important, when we want to clean the house up. The house is messy, so the house got stuff on the floor, so you can sweep the house on the floor. But some of the other gazeros, which are not considered to be as urgent, such as oiling the floor and things like that, you don't do so frequently. So then we're not always making all that. We're making all when it's a relatively urgent need. Sometimes it's thrown in also that you swept the floor before Shabbos. Or you swept the floor before Shabbos, now you have to swept the floor on Shabbos also, because people have been using the floor, using the kitchen all the Friday night, Shabbos morning. So then this is something you're doing constantly, so then you can do it as well. But something that's less pressing and that's a less urgent need, so you don't find necessarily that we're so quick to be makel. So for example, when it comes to oiling the ground, things like that, so then that's also an area where people tend to still be machmir. Yes, sir? Well, the ground, it somehow kept the ground fresher, kept the ground cleaner. Somehow enhancing it again.
It was like the grease?
Sorry?
It was the grease?
I guess so. Yeah, I don't know what they used, but didn't have a brand name for sure.
Well, it's like
I guess so, or I guess it enhanced the ground in some way. I don't know exactly what they did. But yeah, so that's an issue. Whether there's a difference or not seems to depend on essentially how urgent it is. There is also a gezeira that's mentioned in the Gemara, if you got a chance to see, that a person shouldn't wipe his foot off on the ground. The person has some dirt or some cement on his foot, so on his shoe, so he shouldn't wipe that off on the ground, because that will also lead him to, he does it for a few seconds, does it more than just seconds, going to lead him to really push into the ground in a way that will also have an effect on the ground and soften the ground. The problem is, it's a big question whether or not that's true, the halacha or not, because there's two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion says you can do that outside, but you can't do it inside because it's a bona issue. There's another opinion that says you can't do it outside, but you can do it inside because it's not a really bona issue, but it's a farish issue. And then the opinions both mutter, opinions both also. So what's true of halacha? So you find opinions in every different direction. So it's an ongoing, open question about whether or not there is an existing gezeira about this, but there are possibly other malachas involved as well, so one should presumably be careful when dealing with the outside, at least, probably not grind his foot into the ground for any purpose, including the purpose of taking the dirt off, taking the cement off, get onto the ground. There's also a discussion, which is also a question to what extent it's continuing to be relevant. It's also not clear how to pass it in the Gemara. Yeah?
It's the, what do you do if you get like something on the bottom of your shoe?
Right, so in the house, it's we're on, let's say, hard floor, it's not the arable land, and there's more room to be made over. That's just
sidewalk.
Yeah.
It's different
for
people on the sidewalk, you know, like
that. Right. You know, and then especially, sorry?
There's no arable land, you can see it.
Right, so that helps. Right, but not necessarily the case, but right, you have a lot of non-arable land that you can work with. But you know, in the dirt, it would be more of a more of a mess.
You're not so worried about the bone issue.
Seems like the bone issue has less traction, even though the Gemara raises it. And it's not 100% clear who paskins what. A little bit of back and forth, but especially if you're on the outside, if you're on the sidewalk, you know, sidewalk is. Not clear. We've got into a little bit of what defines a stud or what defines a field. But
right.
you have so many studs, and this is not, you know, it's not really going to help. So presumably it is what to be making on that setting. So there's also a concern if you have a very heavy barrel or something like that, and you're going to put it into the ground, that there's an issue raised also that's going to flatten out the ground, or if you move it, shifts the ground underneath it. Again, there is somewhat of an open issue as to how we pass it on that, whether that's actually prohibited or not. Usually, it's not something we tend to want to do on Shabbos anyway. It doesn't come up that often. And you should be aware there's a potential area about that. If you look, there's a beautiful sefer, which I don't know if anybody else has, called the Halacha Shel Shabbos. He has an interesting footnote about both of these. Talks about who says what in terms of whether it's Pascha or Halacha. It's just Halacha Shel Shabbos. So there is also a gzeira we mentioned before about the children. Yes.
Is this really for strollers?
Not yet. Strollers has different kudos as well. We'll get to strollers in a second. But the other issues for children, we talk about older children before we talk about younger children. The backwards inclined is better. Reverse now, I'm talking about adults now, so we'll talk about the older children, younger children. So if the children like to play marbles, so there is a gezeira there to not play a game like that on top of the dirt. Because the concern is, so it's all about getting the marble from one place to the next on top of the dirt. So you're going to want to flatten out a path for your marbles so you don't lose your marbles. So that's an issue. That's a gezeira d'rabbanan. And there again, it's a question when it applies. So it doesn't apply, Shulchan Aruch says, it doesn't apply if you're on a table. If you put it on if you play marbles on a table or on a raised surface, so then that's not an issue. I'm going to see the language of the Shulchan Aruch. It says, Shin Lamed Ches Hei. It's based on the Gemara in Erevin. It says, Ein Sofkin Be'Gozim V'lo B'Tafuchim V'Fiotzi Bo V'Shin Mashvi Yigumos. We shouldn't play these games on the ground because we're concerned that you're going to flatten out the ground. So then the Ramah adds, "V'dav kal gav karka, aval gav shulchan shari delekla megzer sham b'shem gumos." We don't have to make a gezerah that the table is going to look like the ground. So you can play on the table, just don't play on the ground. So then it's also a discussion. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah adds, in terms of the playing on the shulchan, so he says it could be the floor also. He says, "V'hu adin al gabi machzelas or beged or tavla." That if you put something down on top of the ground, then that could also, you put some type of mat that's going to cover up the ground, then you could presumably play on top of that. V'logos rina b'cholzeh atu al gavkarka d'gzeru l'gzeru. And we're not worried that that's going to come to your playing on the ground. That's a gzeru l'gzeru. So you can play either on the table or on a mat that is put on top of the ground. Aval agav karka, but ground itself, afilu himaru tefes, lo shayach hashvi gumos, even if it happens to be paved, so you don't really have a concern about shvi gumos, still gam ken aser, as long as it's ground, then we aser it whatever the ground is. Because karka, the karka mechot, that's an expression from the Gemara, that people can't tell the difference between different grounds, they all look the same, or they all seem the same. So it goes reading out to Kakar Shane and Ruzo. So paved ground we still prohibit because of a concern it's going to get mixed with, make it confused with unpaved ground. But we could be making it either on a table or even on the ground if you put something on top of the ground.
Is that why on Yom Kippur we put the different tiles on the floor?
It's related, but it's a whole different issue. It's a question of what's called ground. That's, you know, it's a we'll talk about it before we get. We probably won't talk about it. It's related.
Well,
we'll leave it as it's related.
The same thing that you can
produce the carbon with the actual
floor.
Yes, it's related to that. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Because over here, that we say that we're
I think it goes to the question of tzorach again. I think that when something is more tzorach, so we're more ready to be make more about it when it's not relevant, especially because you have a couple of other. Yeah, you know, not losing your marbles is a big concern. Playing them is a little bit less of a concern, especially because they can do it other ways. You know, they can play on the table. There's other things they could do. Once we're talking about games for kids, Rav Harfenis has a tshuva also about jump rope. He says that if you're jumping rope, and what happens is the rope hits the ground every time it comes down, and it picks up some dirt. So he thought that was a real concern. He thought that was something to worry about. That's a concern of Ashriya Gumos, and that's not a good game to play on top of the dirt. It's not clear that he would also play that when there's no dirt, because I don't think there's an existing Xera. I don't know if we can say that fits into the Xera of the marbles. I think he's just saying that if the Metzias is that you're picking up dirt when you're doing this, so then that's a problem. If that's not the Metzias, if you have a flat ground, you have paved ground, presumably you don't necessarily have that included in the Xera, which is now I'm assuming. Concern seems to be the way it's expressed, is that Rashi and the Gemara says like that we're concerned that you're going to want to make a path and that you'll come to the flat land, that part of the process. I guess you could turn, is that a gzera itself, or is that part of the process? The gzera, the gzera? Right, he's worried that it happens in the middle. So my impression is that he's not saying this is part of the existing gzera, saying that if the Metzias is that you're kicking up dirt when you're doing this, then that's a problem. Therefore, I don't think you have to worry if it's a setting where question what's appropriate for adults to do that. There's a whole discussion, exercise on Shabbos, and sometimes there's Rimu Hakel, sometimes there isn't. But it's for little kids. Is it the concern of the Malacha of Chorej? If it's on the dirt, that's what you thought was a concern. Hi. Sorry? Yeah, so there are other issues when it comes to exercise, and sometimes it's mutter, sometimes if there are certain types of that exercise mutter. It's a little bit of a complex question. We'll get into that, probably it affects other things, but just separate from that issue, it depends whether there's a courage concern. So then that's how he addresses it. While we're on the subject of kids and games, so sandboxes may look a lot like they have courage issues, but the mice of the probably don't. Sorry? Right, so sand is first of all considered to be considered to be very finely ground, non-arable, essentially land. So sand is probably not subject to choresh as it is. There could be other malachas involved if it's wet. If it's wet and it's clumped together, that's a more serious concern. If it's dry sand, so then there would be a concern of mukta. However, if it's sand that's set aside for this purpose, if it's a sandbox, which is there for the kids to play in, so then already that's not a muksa issue, it's really not a choresh issue, it's not a lush issue, if it's all dry, so, and if there's no, if there's nothing underneath it, that's also, sometimes if you have sand, the sand's on top of some dirt, so then you have to be careful not to go under the sand. But if there's nothing underneath it, or you're not touching anything underneath it, so then, under all those conditions, it should presumably be mutter, at least for children, to play. I should have mentioned also, when we talk about side concerns, so we talk about sweeping the house, so it also depends what kind of broom you use. It's also just not a chorish issue, per se, but it's generally assumed we talk about it being mutter, we're talking about modern brooms, which are not made out of this very bristle straw that snaps every time you use it, but it's not essentially a segregation, you're going to be breaking apart the straw broom. So using a normal broom, which a normal broom is not going to break every time you use it, as a matter of course, so then that's when you're saying that it's about the Malacha. And you should just be aware that it's not the only concern, but there is also a concern of using a broom that's going to break apart. So that's something to be aware of as well. Yes, sir?
Who's the jump rope tshuva?
Jump rope to Parthenos is in the Mishmas Shabbos. So just some of the issues to be aware of, you mentioned about baby carriages. When it comes to baby carriages, the Gemara talks about it a little bit. There are other concerns. The Gemara talks about the other issues with bringing somebody out in a chair, l'chvodon, and certain types of non-necessary bringing people out in a chair. But when you're doing it, because you have, let's say, either a child or an adult in a wheelchair. So then, for the most part, there is Malkum Lahakil, because what happens is it's actually a reverse Harisha, it's an anti-Harisha. Because we saw what is Harisha according to Rashi, right, is softening the ground. And what happens when you run a carriage or on the wheels of a carriage or a wheelchair over the ground? It compresses the ground. It's actually what the effect that it has on the ground is a reverse Harisha. So it's generally assumed that that's not problematic. Again, when it's being done with Tzarech and it's being done in Amakim, that is an Eruv, and there's all types of other factors there. For the most part, there's a many Tzadim Lahakil. It gets a little more complicated, but there is Makim Lahakil as well. Are walking sticks, which make small holes if you lean on them on the ground. Don't necessarily, but potentially do. And high-heeled shoes. Assuming nobody in this room has that issue, but you know people who have that issue. So high-heeled shoes that have a sharp point potentially are a little more complicated, because then you're poking a hole, and that hole could be right for seeds. There is significant room lahakil in that also. A lot of modern posts can assume, especially with a walking stick, which is more litzarech for some people, but the high heels, say, are less litzarech. You don't have to wear high heels, but if you find yourself outside, all of a sudden stuck somewhere, and you're not going to take your shoes off and get all dirty, then there's a cold out litzarech also, and also a normal way of walking. In general, we don't assume walking usually is an isser. We don't assume it's an isser. It's tovesh, for example, things that are underneath your shoes. So here also, we'll take your question in a second. So here, even though it's a little more complicated than the baby carriages, suppose you mention a number of stud and lahakil, putting together that it's unintentional, it's makalkil, which is a rabbit for making holes, so generally not productive. You have no connection to any active zriya, and it's kalachar yad, this is not the normal way of making furrows, putting all that together. Even though it's a little more of a concern than the carriages, there is a significant Makom Lahakil to rely on for those situations as well. So I'd say you wanted to... Right, so Malachim is Rikha Lagufa. Right, so you have to figure out exactly what the Hagdara of Malachim is Rikha Lagufa and Davishim is Gavin. We'll talk about that in a little more detail after Sukkot. But potentially you do have a Yisurim Drabbanim, even when it's mutter and Torah, so that's a concern. And sometimes when it's a definite result of what you're doing, then that could actually be a deraisa as well. So you have to figure out, it's not always mutter. Right, so carrying a bench, machlokes in the Gemara, carrying a bench is a problem or not, but it's also a question whether it's definitely going to happen, and that's something we'll get into in more detail after. Yeah, you have a clock of yad. Same thing. Yeah, it's not much less of a tzarech. If it has to walk, so you can say you don't have to wear the shoes, but then you don't always clear it out beforehand. So it's less of it. It's less of an urgent move, but it's makom lahakil in both. But what about bicycles? So bicycles, you don't find so much simple before. Bicycles, Harfenis has a truth about, which is just interesting for a lot of other reasons. So Harfenis feels bicycles are certainly not appropriate on Shabbos, and he has six reasons why. Three of them, you can group them three and three. Three sound similar to each other. Ovda Dechal, so a weekday thing, which prompts a whole interesting question that we'll get into a little bit more. What is the Hagdar of Ovda Dechal? So the Tiferes Yisrael wrote an important Shabbos, an important sefer on Shabbos called the Chalkelis HaShabbos. Tiferes Yisrael was a Talmud of Yehuda Eger, who wrote the famous commentary on Mishnayos. There's a lot of often quoted things. So on Shabbos is very important also. In this Chalkelis HaShabbos, he lays out, he quotes from the Rambam. The Rambam in his letters says that there are three things that Mubdu B'chol represents. Either it's something that looks like a malacha, which is why you sometimes find that Ovda Dechal is mutter if you do it in a way that has a different tool or something that makes it look different than the malacha it normally looks like. That's one. Two is it may lead to a malacha. So then you say, well, what's the difference between that and Zeros? Where Chazal asked things that would lead to malachas. So here, seems to be that these are things that Chazal didn't necessarily asur because they're often needed letzorach. They often have necessary usages, so Chazal didn't prohibit them. But if it's not letzorach, then it could lead to an issur d'oraisa, then it falls into an over the whole category. And the third is something that has an inordinate amount of tircha associated with it. Sometimes called into the falls. That's a discussion of what exactly the daras are. We'll get into it a little bit more, but he's pretty confident that it's an into the fall issue. But not everybody. He quotes from Nachoni, Marashag, and others who weren't so sure that there's this existing issue here. But that's one. And he also quotes from Nechzam Sofer that anything that takes great effort is a problem of Shabbosom. Takes work to push the bicycle. It says also that the Gemara says that you shouldn't run on Shabbos, for example, because you shouldn't walk like you do during the week. You should not take what the Gemara calls a psia gasa, a big step. So this is presumably in that category. And then he mentions that you could put another three categories. Yes? That was the only issue, right?
That was the only issue.
The Gemara does allow that. The Gemara allows with the Bechol from Achim Mitzvah also. So if that was the only issue, you could perhaps allow it. It could come up also because the question is, some of these issues, it's a more complicated issue, which draws on some other things. So we won't get into it now. We're almost out of time. But what about ice skating on Shabbos, which has some similar issues, although some different issues on top of ice creates all kinds of other things. But it's also in some parts of the world, presumably you need to wear ice skates just to get around. So it depends, you know, when we talk about, oh, someone to say, I want to go to the ice skating rink on Shabbos, it becomes incredibly inappropriate. If somebody lives in Alaska, and the only way to get to shul is to walk with your ice skates, who knows? So there's what to talk about. But you'll do the whole dry mitzvah balance is sometimes different depending on what you want and why you're doing this. Hi. Is what not a problem? Right, so it's not a choresh issue, potentially. It could be there's a gzeira, it could be there are other issues. So we'll get to that more, just mentioning it now for this, of the choresh. You're right, that in terms of straight choresh, doesn't look like it. But, first of all, if you have iced over fields, it's not so clear with that, even though you're not able to really affect the land, but maybe there's a gzeira there. We'll have to figure that out. Yes, sir. Interesting. I don't know if it's been applied to that. It's an interesting question. It's in that category. Escalator. Shabbos escalator. It's an interesting question. Anybody asked that really once. Sorry? There's not a Pesach gas issue? We talked about that?
Yeah.
The escalator is totally mutter. Did he talk about Pesach gas at all? He says that if it's not a Shabbos-like way of walking, if you're extending that idea, well, the Gemara says that you're walking during the Gemara applies to it. It says you're walking, as Gemara in the beginning of Brachos also, your walking shouldn't be like the walking of the week. I ask if I really want to apply to skipping steps. So skipping steps, it sounds like that would potentially be an issue. We're asking Gemara and Mor Shapo is coming up here this year. So, again, the Bar Mitzvah should be making. Okay, so the three other issues I mentioned before we run out of time. The other issues he mentions is concerns from Alachas. He said maybe it's going to break and you're going to fix it, or maybe you're going to end up riding outside of Tum because it's so much easier to move quickly than otherwise, or maybe you'll end up finding yourself on a hill and then you're going to end up carrying it somewhere outside. The whole thing only gets off the ground if it's a month or more to begin with, but maybe we would say you're going to carry it beyond and apparently go into other issues. So basically, he's not sympathetic to the bicycle. Anyone who would have thought that maybe you could run around on a bicycle on Shabbos, you should know that the Parashah has many reasons to tell you why you shouldn't. Just to quickly mention one or two other issues before we run out of time. So the Gemara also mentions an issue of spitting on the floor, because that flattens out the ground and that makes the ground more receptive. There as well, it's assumed, Parfus is true about this also, that we would only apply this in an area where it's really ground. If it's a paved ground, then presumably wouldn't necessarily make the gzera to that extent. One very important issue, just to bring up before we run out of time, is what about shoveling snow? Is shoveling snow an issue? So this is a big machlokes. There were those who thought that it was. I believe, I didn't look at it recently, but I think of Rabbi Ribiad in his book, he says that it's totally also the rice and shovel snow, and that if you have a contract, it's very machlokes. If you have a contract with a non-Jewish service that shows up whenever it snows, you didn't call them, they show up whenever it snows, you have to tell them to go home if they show up on Shabbos. That is not the way everyone holds. Rabbi Willie thinks it's mutter to shovel snow on Shabbos. Rabbi Warman has a tshuva about it in the Sefer Oros HaShabbos, which is kedai to read, and he gets very much into this whole question of Ashmiya Gumos, and one of the Machmeran, and one of the not Machmeran. So here, let's see, you're dealing with, presumably we're dealing more with paved ground, because you usually don't have to worry so much about shoveling the snow off of your lawn. We're talking about your walkway, and we're talking about paved ground. So already there is a tzad lahakil. Got that? Okay, it's a question whether you factor that in, you know, to what extent. That's, it's an interesting outside equation to bring in, not just the land and what you're doing, but what time of year it is. It's more of an outside consideration, but maybe that's relevant. But here we're talking, presumably, about your walkway, we're talking about paved ground. And he mentions there a concern, which is interesting in Philip. He says there are those who are concerned. If you have rocks, if you have, let's say, ground that's paved with stones, then maybe we should be concerned that you're going to sweep that. So then could end up sweeping in between the rocks, and maybe there's ground in between the rocks. See, but that's not necessarily a concern here, because a shovel is different than a broom. So it's the same way when it comes to a broom, so we also find that there's a heter for a very light type of a feather, something like that, which is not likely to have a broader effect than you're aiming for. So too, you have a shovel. A shovel has a flat bottom, so a shovel is not going to be able to sneak in between the cracks in the rocks. The shovel is going to only go on top of the rocks. So he, after discussing it back and forth, it's not the open and shut case, but he basically comes to the conclusion that we don't really have an issue of Ashmi Gumos or of a real Chorish concern in terms of shoveling the snow. Hi. Presumably Macalco. Except if your walkway is paved, so then it's not really a chorish concern. Right, the whole concern is really when it's unpaved. So when it's paved, so then we saw 2 days of Shulchan Aruch, the whole story, but you know, here there's significant other considerations. That's adding also the fact that a shovel is not considered to be like a broom, is also a tzavah hakel. If you get to the lawn, yeah, theoretically, again, you're not purposely going on the lawn, so it'll be a double shin of the scabbing and not a consideration and a couple of other issues, but right, presumably you're not going to shovel off in the lawn. But Simon, right, so you're not aiming for that, it's not a consideration. But Simon told me that Rabbi Abadi was also from the Machmirim on this, by the way. He also thought that this was a Ashmiya Gumos concern. But, sorry? Yeah. Apparently. I didn't hear much more detail from the back there than that. But Lemaisa, Rabbi Warman, Rabbi Willoughby make on this, and Rabbi Warman comes out essentially to be makel from these considerations, but then he throws in that we know that there is an idea of Shabbason, which the Ramban writes as Asei Daraisa, so you shouldn't be doing stressful things on Shabbos. So it's a question how much that's relevant, because yes, I think we all understand nobody should be shoveling snow for fun on Shabbos. That's not what we're talking about. And we're talking about presumably you're going to shovel snow because it's Lotzora, and it's often Nogeya to safety. So the role that this Tircha consideration has to play is probably not as powerful. I think we could agree that if there's not a real Tzora for shoveling snow, then maybe it's not the best Shabbos activity. But presumably when there's a safety concern and ability, sorry? Can hear you. It's still muktzeh. So that's a question. It may not be muktzeh. That we can get into a little bit more. We get into either we'll get at the topics that come up to it, or if the season calls for it. There's a lot of other issues, and among the other major issues, also relevant to safety even more so, is sprinkling salt on ice, which many of them may go on. But we'll talk about that either if we get up to it or becomes relevant, whichever comes first. But just now, because we're interested in the Chorish issue, so we're just focusing. We're already out of time, so we'll just focus on that issue again to be aware of in terms of the shoveling. Again, many of Akel, even though there are those who are machmer on it. Again, we're assuming that you're doing this for a significant sorech of safety or other related tzrachim. There is also, just to mention, takes a second, one other interesting issue that sort of this Zilberstein talks about in the Sefer. Talks about the case, I guess for security reasons, that there was I think a moshav in Israel that wanted to search for footprints. So they had to dust the ground outside to look to see if they could identify footprints that had been covered up. So he assumes there that that's not going into the question whether it was to go off nefesh or not, that they're looking for somebody dangerous. But he has other reasons, lahakel, that this is most of lahakel and it's with the lagufa, and that it's not really very Israel what he was talking about, and that it's already plowed land. You know, there are a couple of southern hot dogs, but it was interesting thing to mention, add a little bit of mystery to our discussion. We're looking for footprints, so that's a big sign as well. Okay, so basically at times we talked about some of these additional issues of Zriya, the qualitative, quantitative issues, and the issues related to water. And then in terms of Karisha, we talked largely about these concerns of Ashiri Gumos, which is the dominant theme in a lot of the extra gezeiros that we find. And we mentioned a number of variables, that there is a question of whether we make a gezeira on non-unpaved land because of non-paved land, and or maybe we're even looking even on unpaved land, because variables of whether or not there's a psik reishi here of Ashri Yegumos, and how likely is it for us to switch, and sometimes a greater degree of Torah leads to a greater degree of Kula, which is why we find, for example, that sweeping the floor is considered to be makel, according to many in a normal household where all the houses, and most of the houses in the city have normal floors. But some things that are less that tzarech don't necessarily have this kula. We talked about children's games, various issues that are relevant to that. We talked about carriages and wheelchairs, where the main natia is to be makel because combination of the tzarech and the fact that this is really reverse karisha, you're compressing the ground rather than softening it. And it's a little bit more complicated. We're talking about things that poke holes in the ground, like a walking stick or a high-heeled shoe. But there again, there's significant muck and mahakil. And then we talked about shoveling snow, which is a complicated issue. There are those who were machmir, some very machmir on, and there was those who were much more makel on. And we talked about some of the issues relevant to that. And then just briefly, this mysterious issue to close the mystery of that conversation. Okay, but as a Hashem, for the next 2 days we have this week, I want to talk tomorrow about sugyas of Tosefta Shabbos, because it's a Shabbos sugya that also has a lot of relevance to just about every yontif in its unique way, so we'll discuss that the next 2 days. And then our agenda for the following week, because the Yom Kippur is to pick a Shabbos sugya that's very relevant to Yom Kippur, so we'll talk about Chatzis Shir, which, by the way, is also pretty relevant to Yom Kippur Shabbos.